The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
At this time, I want to officially welcome everyone from our Facebook page, our podcast audience, and as well as YouTube. Again, today, we're going to be continuing our series on new insights into the days of Lot. And today, I want to deal with a lesson from Lot's wife. Again, we've entitled this A Lesson from Lot's Wife. We're going to be digging into some scriptures in the New Testament. We're going to take you, of course, into the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, where we pull this from and the backdrop of this. So if you have a Bible with you, you can turn to Luke 17, because we're going to be hanging out there for a little bit there in Luke 17, and then we're going to move on from there. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever wondered why Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of Luke, and we're getting ready to read this here, in chapter 17, to remember Lot's wife? There's three words he says here. Remember Lot's wife. And it's very interesting that he just tells us these three things. Remember Lot's wife. To answer this question, we must first go to the context in which Jesus made this statement. So let's take a look at the book of Luke chapter 17 and see what the contextual conversation consisted of here where Jesus made this statement. Luke 17, 26 verses 36. I want to read this quote. And you guys should know this by now. We have quoted this so many times in these series that we've done. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now I'm going to give you the second passage to this. Quote, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. And then he interjects this strange, again, these three words here. Remember Lot's wife. All right, so we've read everything before that. Now I want to read everything after this statement that Jesus made. Let's go to the next part. Whosoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, another be left. Two men will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field, the other will be taken, and the other left. So again, this is a very cryptic, I believe, passage of scripture here in Luke 17 that should be very sobering for everyone listening to the sound of my voice or watching this message right now. In this passage above, we see that Jesus explained to his disciples that the time of the end would mirror a time of the past. In this example, he expressed how there would be people who would be living again as normal, eating, drinking, buying. We talked about a lot of this in our last segment. Selling and marrying, they would be buying, selling and marrying, but will be oblivious to the danger of coming judgment. I also believe he is warning us that there will be those in the end. This is really what I want to home in on today. There'll be those in the end that would turn back, or they would be entangled again in the very thing that the Lord delivered them out of. I want to say that again, because really this is the preface of what I want to talk about in our third installment of this series. I believe when Jesus highlighted, remember Lot's wife, he was alluding to individuals who, again, in the time of the end, right before judgment's coming, before the coming of the Son of Man, there would be people that would turn back, or they would be entangled again in the very thing that the Lord delivered them out of. So let's take a back, let's go back. I want to go back to Genesis 12 here, and I want to look at something here. I want to take us back to the storyline of when this happened. All right, Genesis 12, we know that in Genesis 12, Abraham, as God reveals himself to Abram, he changes his name. He gives him a new identity. He gives him a purpose. He gives him a destiny. He speaks prophetically over Abraham and says, out of your seed, out of your descendants shall come a great people. He says, listen, he tells him here, he says that in Genesis 12, he tells him that it will come through his own loins, his seed through Sarah, an impossible situation. And then we see in Genesis 13 that God, in this journey, as he's moving forward, God speaks to Abraham and he tells him, look, now's the time that you're going to have to separate from your nephew or your own bloodline. Again, we talked a lot about this in our last message we did. If you've not seen that, you need to go back and watch that. Again, it's archived on YouTube. It's on our podcast channel. It's on Facebook. It's all over the place. You can find that, go and listen to that. And I pull out some real practical applications to that on how many times in our walk with God, the Lord will have us separate ourselves from people, places, and things, because not that he's trying to hurt us, not that he's trying to discourage us or harm us. It's because he has something better in store for us, and it's requiring us to step out into the unknown, step out into uncharted territory, and pioneer in something new. Okay, so he's speaking to Abraham and he's saying, all right, it's time for you to separate from Lot. And again, to shorten this, Abraham tells Lot, his nephew, look, you choose first where you want to go, and then I will go in the opposite direction. Again, Lot chooses. Again, we're just kind of reiterating what we went over last week, because we have to do this to get to where we're going here. Lot chooses the cities of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah, because he was moved by what he saw, by what he felt, and the visual, his emotions. He was moved by that and not, I believe, by discernment, okay? And probably not even by wise counsel. So Lot chooses the cities of the plains, and I pointed this out as well, through a three-step process or a three-step progression, Lot and his family ends up being succumbed to bondage to the moral decay, the culture, and the environment of the cities of the plains. And this process started with a look, and it moved, and then it went to a move, and then it went to an anchoring or setting your roots down. Let me say that again. It went from a look, a visual look, and then he went from his eyes to his body or his physical moving from one location to another. And then he rooted himself, or he grounded himself, set down his roots into the cities of the plains, not just him. And this is important when we get to what I want to talk about today and the preface of what we're talking about. Now, it was not just about Lot, but it was about his whole family. And I want to say this again. I said this before. Whatever decision that you and I make as the spiritual priest of our home, come on, I'm talking to all the leaders of your home. Whatever decision that we make, it's not just going to impact, and it's not just going to affect you and I, but it's going to impact our spouse. It's going to impact our family. It's going to impact our children and our children's children, not just our generation, but generations to come. I hope everybody understands that. And this is exactly what happened when Lot decided to make the decision that he made. Watch what happens. So then in Genesis, we go from Genesis 12 to Genesis 13. Then the move is made. Then we go down to Genesis 18. And we discover, you can read this in your own time. I'll put the scripture up here on YouTube. You guys can see this when you're watching this by YouTube. It's in Genesis 18. But you'll discover that Lot is now into captivity. And there's war breaking out. There's bloodshed breaking out. And word gets back to Abraham, his uncle. And it's interesting that Abraham begins to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, listen to this. I want to read this in Genesis 18. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. By the way, these men were angels of the Lord. And the Lord said, quote, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, and the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. And it says in verse 22, then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? So here we see Abraham knowing that his own bloodline is in the cities of the plains in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God has now revealed to him that he is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to bring judgment because of their wickedness. And the Lord himself has sent angels in to confirm the outcry that's already went against it. So Abraham already knows how wicked Sodom and Gomorrah is. So he begins this dialogue with the Lord, pleading with him. And he says, listen what he says. He says, what are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? Verse 24, suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Now listen, for all those, I got to interject this. For all those that are so prompt and gung-ho about telling people that the righteous are going to be judged with the wicked. Listen, it's all the time. You see it on blogs, you see it on social media, and I've even heard preachers get up and preach it, that the righteous and the wicked are going to be purged together. God is going to judge them together. God is going to allow the righteous to go through the tribulation and go through judgment. Now listen, Abraham was called a friend of God. This joker was so close to God that God called him a friend of God. I'm going to go back up here. And God said, listen to this. God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Abraham was so righteous in the eyes of the Lord that God was not going to allow a judgment to befall on his own bloodline, lest he first reveal to him, oh, come on, somebody, what he was about to do. Did you know your Bible says that the Lord God does, this is in the book of Amos, the Lord God does nothing lest he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. And by the way, that still is applicable to today in 2021. Not just then, but it's today. There's still righteous people on the earth today. There's still people that hear from God today. There's still people that are called friends of God today. Why? Because they have a relationship with him, because they have an intimate relationship with him, and because the Holy Spirit says that he would reveal to the sons of God, those that are his, this is in the book of John, he will reveal to them, or to us who are covenant with him, things yet to come. So he reveals this to Abraham, and Abraham, let me make another point here. Abraham would dare not tell God. Think about who he's speaking to. Abraham is speaking to the God of heaven, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, listen what Abraham says. Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He says, far be it from you to do such a thing as to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Listen what he says. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Listen, Abraham would never say such a thing if he didn't have confidence. Oh yeah, you're going to get it now. He would never say such a thing lest he had confidence to know the will and the word and the relationship that he had with God. He understood this. He understood this from Noah. God spoke to Noah in a private devotional conversation. And when they were in communion with each other, and God spoke to Noah and said, Noah, all flesh is corrupt before me. All men have gone astray. Violence is covering the face of the earth. I am going to wipe out the whole earth, but I'm not going to allow you and your bloodline to be a part of this destruction and a part of this judgment. And he gave them specific commandments and specific things to do and instructions to do and to be obedient to that. And because Noah was righteous, because he had a covenant with God, and because he was obedient to what God told him to do, God spared him from the judgment. Man, I'm telling you, this is good stuff if you just read your Bible. Listen to this. So here we see Abraham in this dialogue with the Lord, and he turns it from a conversation to intercession. I'm going to say that again. He turns it from conversation to intercession. It's amazing how in our own prayer and devotional life, we'll start out praying and having a conversation with God. But then when we hear from the Lord about what he's about to do, many times it will turn our conversations into intercession, because Abraham understood that God was not playing around. He was serious, and God was about to bring judgment on the cities of the plains. And Abraham knew, I've got bloodline in that city. And if nobody else is going to intercede for my nephew and his family, then I alone have got to intercede. I've got to stand in the gap. I've got to make up the hedge. And I have got to seek the will and the heart of God on this matter. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, some of y'all's family is in situations. They're in bondage. They're in drugs. They're in alcohol. They're in sins. They're in sexual immorality. They're behind bars. They're in a relationships they shouldn't be in. They're in situations right now they don't have anybody else to pray for them. They don't have anybody else to intercede for them. They don't have anybody else to stand in the gap for them. Come on. Who are the Abrahams that I'm speaking to today behind the lens of this camera or this microphone that God is speaking to you by the Holy Spirit, and he's telling you to intercede for them, travail for them, and pray for them? Come on, we need to make a point that 2021, we will be like Abraham and go. And by the way, let me bring out this last point. Abraham didn't just intercede, come on, behind closed doors or a closet. He actually put legs to his faith, and Abraham sent an army down into Sodom and Gomorrah to bring deliverance. So here's the point. This is a principle here for you and I today, all right? But watch this. Then we move down to Genesis chapter 19. We see two angels of the Lord appear to righteous Lot and warn him that judgment was coming upon the cities of the plains because the outcry against him has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent them to destroy it. Now listen to this. Genesis 19, 19. Now, when the two angels came unto Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom, When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, and then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." Now stop. Why did these angels insist on spending the night in the open square and not going to the house of Lot? You want to know the answer? The answer is found in the book of Yasher. And I told you about that in our last message that we did last week. And because if you go to the book of Yasher, the Bible says by the decision of four judges over the cities of the plains, they erected beds in the city square and they committed sexual immorality with strangers that came into the city there in the open square and the open in front of people and in front of families, in front of God and everybody. So these angels heard about this. It was reported unto them, and they said, remember context, we, the angels speaking, are going to go down there to the cities of the plains and see if what we've heard and what has been spoken to us about how wicked this city is actually true. So these angels said, no, we're going to spend the night out in the open square and see if this happens. Because remember, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, beware of entertaining strangers, for in doing so, many have entertained angels unaware. So to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, these didn't look like angels. Lot recognized them as angels because Lot was righteous. He was in tune with God. He was in covenant with God. Therefore, he discerned and he understood that these men were not normal men, but they were angels of God. But the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were so wicked and so unrighteous, and they had no discernment. They were walking in darkness, and they were filled with demonic spirits, no doubt, that they didn't recognize these as angels of God, but they were going to do to them what they've done to every other stranger that enters into the city. Let's go back into the context, Genesis 19. Verse 3, but Lot insisted strongly that they would stay with him in the house. So they turned into him and entered his house. So eventually they said, okay, well, we're going to come in. So they came in. Listen to this. So then they came into Lot's house. He made them a feast. He baked unleavened bread and they ate. And now, verse 4, and now before they laid down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young. Notice it says the men, not women, but the men of the city, young and old. All, listen to this, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them. And the word know there is a connotation. It's know, known, and knowing. And the connotation is found in the book of Genesis in the beginning when Adam knew his wife. It means to know them sexually, intimately, relationally. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, look, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. Lot knew what these guys were up to. Listen, see now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you that you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men. Now stop, time out. Again, I've said this so many times, I've lost track. Every time I preach this message, I said, I never understood how in the world could Lot even offer his daughters to these wicked men to do as they please. This bothered me for years, guys. And I wrestled with this, said, God, how could he do it? And one day the Lord revealed to me, he showed me, Lot understood that these men were not interested in his daughters. They were not going to touch his daughters. They were interested in the men, not the two women. Come on, are you hearing me? I'm teaching you something today. Watch this. And they said, stand back. Remember, they surrounded the house. Stand back, they said. This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now they're pointing at Lot. They're pointing at Lot, saying, we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to breaking down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house. So now these two angels pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. All right, I want to stop right here. Because you want to go into the days of Lot, as it were in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. Guys, we're not at this level yet. And I got to be real careful what I say here. I got to use discernment. Okay? I got to use discernment here. So I'm going to say this. I believe that if this is a picture of, if the past is a picture of the present, it's a picture of the future, then there's a very good possibility that this is the level of abomination, wickedness, and vile culture that we're going to see in the future, where it's by force. And this is a scary thought, guys. But again, Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. Did he not say that? That's exactly what he said. So we have to believe that that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. Now, then I want to read this. Then the Lord said, or then these two angels says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? So notice the angels go from Lot to his bloodline. Do you have anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, quote, get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Listen to this. Here's a sad part. But his son-in-laws seemed that he was joking. Now, why is this? Remember I told you in the beginning of this broadcast, the decisions that we make as the priest of our home will affect everybody else in our house. Whether we leave, whether we stay, who we're yoked with, who we're in covenant with, what we set under, what we permit, what we allow, it will affect not just us, but everyone around us. So because Lot chose the cities of the plains, he moved his family there. He set his roots there. He planted, he reaped, he lived everyday life there because he said it was well-pleasing to the eye. It was watered well. It was green. It was pleasant. Come on, somebody. His son-in-laws, when judgment was about to come, and Lot warned them, his son-in-law said, are you kidding me? This is the place that you told us to move to. This is the place that you said was a paradise on earth. You said this was the place that we could raise our kids in. This is the place you said we could raise our family. We could live our lives here. And now you're telling us all of a sudden that it's the judgment's coming. What, you know what's mind-blowing here? You would think that the son-in-laws would say, you know what? We understand why you're telling us to get out. We see what's going on. We see the wickedness. We see the detestable things going on. What they're doing to the poor, what they're doing to the needy and how they're not extending their hands to the poor. We see the sexual immorality. We see the debauchery. We see the abominations happening. You would think that they would recognize and discern and see what's going on. But I believe they became influenced by the culture and the environment in which they were in, and they became succumbed to that. So they lost, so Lot in some essence lost influence with at least his son-in-laws, because he was the one that made the decision to move there. And then I believe Sodom got into his son-in-laws, and I'm going to show you in a minute that I believe it got into his daughters as well. So the Bible says in Genesis 19, when the morning had dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry up and say, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." Did you hear that? "Lest you be consumed with the punishment of the city, hurry up and get out of the city." Again, God made a distinction. I'm not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. I want you to get that out of your head. If you're sitting under preachers who preach that stuff, again, it's not biblical. God is not going to judge the righteous with the wicked. From day one, all the way from Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation, there's a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't. I'm telling you, right here, it just pulls this so much out of this. Watch this. "And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside of the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed.'" In verse 18, "Then Lot said to them, 'Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me, saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest somehow evil overtake me and I die. See now this city near me to flee to. It's a little one. Please let me escape there, and my soul shall live.' And he said to him, 'See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. Hurry," this is the angel of the Lord speaking, "hurry, escape there, for I can do nothing until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of that city was called Zoar." Verse 23, "The sun had risen up upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar, and then the Lord rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew the cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground." Verse 26, "But Lot's wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." There is strong evidence that the disaster that took place during this time was a catastrophic volcanic eruption. And that's why she was turned into a pillar of salt. That's why, from an author's perspective, an eyewitness account, when they wrote this passage in the book of Genesis, that's why it said it looked like fire and brimstone came out of heaven. Because if a volcano such as like the Yellowstone supervolcano, Mount St. Helens, if went, during an eruption like that, it would send giant boulders into the air. It would send volcanic ash into the air. So then when it comes down, it looks like it's raining fire and brimstone and ash down upon the inhabitants. Okay. And again, it's interesting that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, when I studied this out in the book of Yasher, the author of Yasher actually wrote that, I mean, and plainly in there, I believe it's in Yasher chapter 19, I believe, or Yasher chapter 9, somewhere around there. It says that Lot's wife looked back because of her compassion for her son-in-laws that remained in the city. Now, that's terrifying. And that's sad all at one time. Here's why. Because again, remember, let me go back up to Luke 17. Remember, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And if you go to Luke 17, he said, and he gives you this whole discourse, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, social being and return of the Son of Man. They were eating, drinking, giving in marriage, all these things until the day, right? And listen, on the second portion of this passage, he says, in that day, he was in the housetop, and he was on the housetop, and his goods are in the house. Let him not come down and take them away. Let him who's in the field not turn back. And then he says, remember Lot's wife. So here's the thing, guys. I believe this is twofold. We see Lot's wife, who, because she was so heartbroken and grieved over lost loved ones that were perishing, that it caused her to perish with them. This is going to be a heavy word, but I'm going to deliver it anyway. You ready? I believe that there's going to come a time by the dispensation of grace and God's sovereign mercy that dispensation of grace is going to close. It's going to come to an end. Listen, when the door shut, it's interesting that in the story of Noah and the ark, the door was supernaturally shut. God shut it. You go to Matthew 25. It talks about the bridegroom and the bride. And it says, when the virgins entered into the bridegroom chamber, the door was shut. God shut the door. And then you see here in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot entered into the door was shut. The angels shut the door. Guys, listen to me. The door is about to be shut. And I believe we have a space of time to get our bloodline in the ark, to get them in the house, to get them in the bridegroom chamber, to get them in the house of the Lord, to get their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have a space of time. We have a space to do this with. But there's coming a time when the door's going to shut. That grace period is over, and we get to a point where God says, you cannot look back. There's no turning back. You can't go back to try to find, come on, your neighbor that don't want to get right with God. You can't go back to your job and try to get that boss that you've been trying to get saved. There's going to come a time when the grains of sand is going to run out for them. Their time is going to be up. And sadly, if the account of what Yasher says and Lot's wife looked back, and because she looked back, it cost her her life, then this is a very sad commentary. So I believe, prophetically speaking, yes, God wants us to intercede. Yes, God wants us to plead and pray and intercede for loved ones and lost loved ones. Keep preaching the gospel to them. Keep letting your light so shine among them that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But you and I need to tell them there's coming a time when we can only pray so much. We can only intercede so much. We can only give you the gospel so much, because there's coming a time when the door is going to open and we're going to go into what's behind that door, and that door is going to shut, and they're going to try to come to that door, and they're not going to be able to get through that door. The time will be up. Then it moves me to my next part, and this is what I want to close with this. Whew. Listen to this. Let me go back down here to Genesis 19. It says, it came to pass that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. Okay. And then it says, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which he had dwelt. Then Lot went up out to Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And he said to his two daughters, dwelt in a cave And now the firstborn was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two are now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old and there is no man on the earth. They actually believed that all the men were wiped out on the face of the earth. This is what this says here. There is no man on the earth to come into us as the custom of all the earth. So come, let us make our father drink wine and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and laid with their father, and he did not know what she, he did not know when she laid down or when she arose. And it happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, indeed, I lied with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight as well. And you do the same that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So then they made their father drink that night also. And the younger arose and lied with him. And they did not know that she had done this when he arose. So again, so part of you is like, okay, that makes sense. But again, in today's terms, this is incest. So you can see that even though his daughters were taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah, they still had Sodom and Gomorrah on the inside of them. They were making decisions based out of emotion, out of fear. Okay? And not so much out of counsel or out of discernment. So, again, why would Jesus tell us to remember Lot's wife? Because after all, that's what we're talking about today. I believe the simple answer is that in the time of the end, I believe we will see many believers that will be delivered out of many strongholds, such as alcohol, again, drugs, pornography, immorality, and the list goes on. However, right before the end of the race, right before the Lord's return, those same, very same strongholds will provoke them to look back one more time. And people will be so caught up with emotional ties to other people that they will not discern that the door has been shut and there's nothing more they can do. Because remember, when Noah entered the ark, guys, the Bible, the book of Yasher says that 700,000 men and women came rushing to the ark, beating on the door and saying, let us in. And Noah yelled to them from the window of the ark and said that the time is up. You had 120 years to repent and to come into the ark, but you chose not to. And because of this, your time is up and God's judgment has come. So I want to read this, guys, a verse of scripture. And then I want to pray with you guys. Genesis 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So I want to pray for individuals that are watching today or listening by podcast today. Listen, I don't need to preach to you. You guys know, if you guys are a regular on our podcast or our YouTube channel or here on End Time Headlines, you know that I believe with all my heart that we are in the time of the end. All the signs of the coming of the Lord are happening at breakneck speed. They're accelerating. And I believe that the time is running out. And I believe that we need to stop playing games. We need to get our hearts right. We need to get ready. And listen, many of us have already entered into 21 days. Usually every time, this time of year, there's a space of 21 days of prayer and fasting. We begin next Sunday, and I'll probably do some messages on prayer and fasting. We usually do this every year, but we're going to enter into 21 days of prayer and fasting. Listen, and as I always say, now's the time. When we enter into that season of prayer and fasting on a corporate level, listen, what do we need to be praying and fasting about? We need to be praying and fasting that God begin to cleanse us out, that we rid ourselves of the filthiness of the flesh, the filthiness of the wicked of the flesh, of our spirit and of our flesh, and get to rid us of these things. The author of Hebrews said, let us lay down every weight and every sin that so easily besets us so that we can run this race and finish this race. So today, if you're watching this broadcast or if you're listening to us and you know in your heart, there's weights, there's sin, there's strongholds in your life, and that you know that if that trumpet was to sound right now, that you could find yourself not ready and you could be as Lot's wife wanting to look back one more time, one more look, one more glimpse, one more taste, one more drink, one more smoke, one more shot of this, one more, come on, one more night with so-and-so, with this or that. Come on. I'm telling you, I believe God's calling a remnant right now to get up, get out, and move forward with the Lord and where he's at in the earth today. I want to be walking hand in hand with him, where he's going, what he's doing. And I want to know, I want to be like Abraham and be like a friend of God and be able to hear from the Lord. And I want to be like Abraham and I want to know what the Lord is about to do so that I can properly prepare me and my household in such manner. So that's my prayer for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice today, watching my Facebook, listening to my podcast. If there's people that are not right, they're not ready, Lord, whether it's emotionally, mentally, physically, or spiritually, Lord, I pray that you would draw them by the Holy Spirit to repent, to turn from their sins, turn from their iniquities, turn from their trespasses, turn from their transgressions, turn to you, put their faith in you, put their trust in you, put their hope in you, and that they may move forward with you, and that they would be like Abraham and be called a friend of God, that they would have an ear to your spirit, an ear to heaven, and that they would be moved, and that they would be driven not by emotion, not by their senses and their feelings, but they would be moved and be driven and be led by the Holy Spirit in the earth today. That's my prayer today. And I pray this today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you can keep up with this. That's where you can follow us. Please go to our main website, click on that link. Go there. There's going to be a place you can subscribe to our daily digest. You'll get one email and in your inbox every single day that you can keep up with what we're doing. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, it is available on Android and Apple. Get it into your hands. Keep up with push notification, breaking news alerts, all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as access to our free podcast, our YouTube channel, and all and much more there available on the app. Again, if you'd like to know more about becoming a partner of our ministry, if you want to listen again, my heart, a great big thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of our partners in 2020, the last 12 months that help us remain strong, help us to be a voice, help us to be a watchman, help us to reach people around the world. Thank you so much. Now we're asking that you would remain faithful to be a partner of our ministry into 2021. Help us continue to do what we're doing. And if you listen, if you're watching this and you say, I want to become a partner of End Time Headlines, we want to partner with your ministry. We want to help you do. We believe in your mission statement of informing, equipping, and encouraging people around the world of the times at which we're living in. If you want to be a partner of our ministry, you can do that by visiting our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Go there. You're going to see places where you can give and donate. And when you go to that page, you're going to see a place where you can set up to become a monthly partner. Or maybe you say, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be a partner, but I want to give a one-time gift. Listen, you can do that. You can sow a one-time gift, a one-time seed. You can do that. And you can do that electronically. You can give by the app, or you can give by check or money order. And you can make that out to everything that's right there on your screen. If you're watching, again, for more information on that, if you're listening to my podcast, again, visit our main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. So guys, we're going to sign off for today. Today is Tuesday, We got a lot of crazy election stuff that we need to keep praying about. It's going to happen today and tomorrow. So we're going to be off today and tomorrow, and we're going to come back on here on Thursday. We may have another message lined up for this series. If not, we've got some stuff lined up that I want to talk about, for some talking points that we're going to talk about. So either way, we'll have something coming up this Thursday. So until we see you again, guys, God bless you. May the Lord keep you, bless you. May His countenance shine upon you. God bless you, guys.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.